This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the meantime, our good buddy Paul Imig, our Green and Gold analyst, let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your Green and Gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Imig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline now. Paul, how are you doing today?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing well. I actually want to let you know that since we last talked, I officially have caught NFL draft fever. It was kind of lying dormant prior to that, where I was like, it's still kind of too far away. And I officially kind of caught the fever in the last 48 hours. So I just want to share that with you.
Yeah, it's between the draft and free agency as to what is going to be on the market, who is going to be on the market. We were talking about some of the names a little bit earlier. Obviously, still you're getting a lot of play for Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, some of the bigger names that are out there. But I'm intrigued with a guy like Earl Thomas coming back off of the broken leg. Trey Flowers, the defensive end for the Patriots. You've got the Honey Badger that is out there. Landon Collins is out there. You've got a lot of names that can really and immediately – help this Green Bay Packers team, defensively speaking, and I'm starting to get the drool coming out of the corners of my mouth, hoping that maybe the Packers and Brian Gutekunst jump into this free agent market and grab some of these guys and not hang on to the old guard just because you don't want to lose a name like Clay or if they can legitimately help you, great. But if they can't, don't hang on to them just because. Go out, make a splash, do a few things that are going to bolster this team defensively right here and right now. Is there somebody that you're thinking that's out there that you say this would be a great fit for the Green Bay Packers?
Well, definitely. Well, let me start by saying the one thing about Gutekunst hanging on to guys just because of the name value or because of, to tug at the heartstrings of the fans. I think Brian Gutekunst proved last offseason when he prematurely in terms of contract, got rid of Jordy Nelson. And for one of his first moves as GM to get rid of, one of the most popular players in recent memory tells me that he could not possibly care less about, sentiment and how are people going to react? So I think he's, in terms of Randall Cobb re-signing or Clay Matthews re-signing, popular Packers, all of that, I don't think there's a shred of care that Gutekunst had, and I think he proved that with Jordy Nelson. In terms of the free agent market and guys that are out there, I think a huge unexpected wrench was thrown into this last night with Eric Weddle being released by Baltimore. And he is added to a safety class of free agents that is really exciting. And the type of safety group of free agents that can turn around that position for any team overnight. You mentioned Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger. I mentioned Eric Weddle. We've talked a little bit about Landon Collins. We've talked a little about Earl Thomas. I mean, are you kidding? Like that, just those four alone right there are four premier safeties. Now, they're at different points of their respective NFL careers. And, you're not looking at, I think what did Tyrann Mathieu sign for like a year ago, like with Arizona, like $6.5 million a year?
Yeah.
And I looked at that and I said, what? Like, is that really all he's worth? And, there's a lot of names out there, and not just names, there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of production out there at safety, especially that I think can help turn you around right away. Kansas City, the Chiefs, are in a fascinating situation right now where they have two premier-ish edge rushers in Justin Houston and Dee Ford, one of whom they might release, the other of whom they franchise tagged in Ford, but are on the trading block with. So what is he worth? And so it's not just like the free agency aspect of this. It's not just the draft aspect of this. It's that I think Brian Gutekunst is very much of the philosophy of leave no stone left unturned, that he wants to be in on every conversation, very reminiscent of the type of language you hear with the Brewers and David Stern. They're like, we want to be in on every conversation. And I think whereas that was obviously laughably not true under Ted Thompson, I think it's very much true so far with a year of Brian Gutekunst and what he's shown in terms of his track record with transactions that he's had so far. So, I think when you look at this group of safeties and you look at the group that the Packers have back there returning, I would be very surprised if that wasn't an aggressive point for the Packers this offseason in terms of free agency. And then once you get to the draft, I think, you know, you have to be excited by the fact that if you're in that front office in Green Bay, you're looking at three picks in the top 44. You can either make those picks, you can leverage all three of those to move up in the top six, maybe. You know, they have so many options, and it's certainly a situation that this front office in Green Bay, not just the Gutekunst front office, but even the Ted Thompson front office prior to it, they haven't been in this position very often where they're coming off a situation where they can have two picks in the top 30, three picks in the top 44. It's a really good chance, that along with the cap space they have, to turn around this team maybe in one offseason.
The thought of Geronimo Allison, I mean, coming off of the surgery and what he had, that adductor muscle inside the thigh, we got into that discussion a little while ago. I'm of the belief that, hey, if this guy's healthy, he's going to be an asset. I watched him through training camp. I watched him kind of grow. I know Aaron Rodgers likes him. He's comfortable with him. He can go up and get a ball. He's a tall, lanky guy, doesn't normally get banged up too often. If he's going to be healthy, that's a guy that I want to make sure they keep in the arsenal. Do you?
Oh, for sure. And I saw this in the tweet earlier that, you know, Joe posts every day to promote the show. And I saw the question about Geronimo Allison. And I mean, it's like a slam dunk yes. And I think he was really on his way to doing good things in the 2018 season before his injury, including on special teams where he had that key blocked punt with the touchdown early on. And he's turning into a player. And he's clearly a guy that the Packers found, and I don't see any reason, you know, the injury doesn't scare me in terms of his long-term or short-term production. I don't think, you know, not that we're sitting and looking at his medical charts, but it's not like I think if, this is going to severely damper the guy's career. So I think he was already showing clear signs of becoming a guy. And, you know, we've been teased before. Jarrett Boykin, if you remember, Jarrett Boykin was a big tease. He had some big games in the absence of Rodgers that one year, and then kind of disappeared off the map, went to Carolina, disappeared there. And there's been guys like Geronimo Allison, like late round and or undrafted guys who have emerged temporarily and then disappeared. I don't think Allison is that. I think he's a real player at wide receiver. And I think maybe a forgotten piece of, you know, when you kind of look back at 2018 and you say, why did things go so wrong? I'm not trying to say Geronimo Allison is the guy that takes you from the poor season that they had to having a great season, but he's a piece. And I think he's one clearly worth keeping around, you know, not even just short term, but probably long term at some point here to get him locked up for 3-4 years in the next, you know, year or so.
Now, I know there's some teams, by the way, we're talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. I know there's some teams out there that are maybe in now on the Antonio Brown festival. And I call it a festival because he's really kind of a goofy circus freak at this point for some of the things he's done. Yeah. Now, I did see the ESPN interview. He was better, but it's still, you're going to pay me. You're going to be on my terms. That doesn't guarantee showing up for practice or for meetings because he's basically telling you, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show up on Sundays and I'll be there. But do you I know Packers fans want to see the shiny object coming alongside Davante Adams, but I can't for the life of me see Antonio Brown coming into this system with a new head coach and disrupting things the way he would.
Well, did you know that for $500, Antonio Brown will send you a happy birthday and or happy anniversary video message? Did you know this?
Well, he has to because of the way he lives. Being dropped off to practice in helicopters and buying Ferraris and Lamborghinis and showing up in all these different things. Because this is a guy that I look at, and I really believe what, by the time his football playing career comes to an end, which is not going to be a very long career, unless he's invested completely wisely, this is one of those guys that's going to live the life, and then by the time it's all said and done, he's going to be broke, and they're going to be holding fundraisers and GoFundMe pages for Antonio Brown because of the way he blew his money.
or just making a living on these video messages. But
right.
No, Bill, I think, you know, I've made my position, you know, a few weeks back on acquiring him, I thought fairly clear, but the underlying message that I had in this whole thing is I kind of mentioned it earlier. The Packers have three picks in the top 44. They have about $35 million in cap space that they can spend. They could make that number even bigger if they make other difficult decisions on their current roster. I don't think it's Antonio Brown. I don't think it's Odell Beckham Jr. All of these flashy big names. But my whole point back when we talked about this a few weeks ago was I think the Packers have to swing for the fence, and they need to do a couple things that – not splashy because we know who Antonio Brown is, not splashy because we know who Odell Beckham Jr. is, but like just not like a conservative offseason. If there was the you know, a bottom line, I think, to my feelings on this is that I don't think the Packers can have a conservative offseason. Now, going for Antonio Brown and all of his antics would clearly fly in the face of having a conservative offseason, but it's clearly looking like this is going to be a match made in Oakland Raiders heaven, you know, the way things are trending right now. And when I see the Raiders being the main team attached to this, and I know that, you know, Mike Mayock, former NFL draft expert, is now the GM in Oakland and working with John Gruden, another TV guy, that you kind of get to a point where you say, wait a second, the Raiders traded away one of the best defensive players in the league in Khalil Mack and then fell apart. And now they want to use the draft capital they got from Chicago to acquire Antonio Brown's craziness? Like, really? Like, you know, it's no wonder that that franchise has very quickly taken a downturn in the John Gruden era, because I just don't understand the thought process. So, yeah, if he wants to go to Arizona or Oakland or whatever else, and I just don't know how it would work. Now, I do think, Bill, if he went to a stable franchise, I do think if he went to a Green Bay, a New England, you know, someplace like that that could maybe handle it better, it wouldn't be too bad. But, man, if he goes to a losing team or a team with dysfunction, and certainly the Oakland Raiders at the top of that list for me, good luck, man, because he has had quite the interesting offseason, to say the least.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, before I let you go, I know we talked a little bit about some of the free agents that are out there, but, you know, if you have three needs via free agency that only veterans can fill the bill, what are they?
Good question, because I think if you include the draft, I'm all in on the Packers taking a tight end in the first round. But that differs then, I think, from what you would do in free agency. I think from a free agency perspective, you hit the edge rusher position. Okay, there's plenty of mid-tier guys out there that even if you want to kind of do the quantity play, you know, where you want to sign two or three guys who can kind of come in and compete for snaps, I think that would be a good move to go at edge rush and free agency as opposed to, and I'm not saying that doesn't mean you wouldn't necessarily draft an edge rusher, because they clearly need to upgrade that position more than just one or two players, whether veterans or rookies. That's a huge need of upgrade. But I think edge rushers for me for number one, safety for me is number two. And then I'm a bit conflicted, I think, on number three. I guess I could see an argument even for running back to supplement Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. I could see the argument at wide receiver to give, you know, someone that's not, and I think like Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Equanimee St. Brown showed a lot of promise. We talked about Geronimo Allison a little bit earlier, but I could see an argument for bringing in, you know, a mid-tier veteran there. I don't, you know, offensive line, I still think that's where you kind of draft a guy and you bring a guy in. I know Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com, his mock had the Packers going interior offensive line with their number 30 pick in his mock draft that came out yesterday. I would be supportive of that. So I think for me, Bill, it's an obvious, you know, one and two in terms of addressing free agency, and that would be edge rush and safety. Oh, and then third, I don't know. I don't know where I'd go third, Bill. Where are you thinking?
Edge rush, I'm always big tackles, offensive line, defensive line, guys of brute. You can always put a rookie in as a guard, but I think tackle is an area that's very difficult. I don't know what you're going to do with Brian Bulaga or how healthy he's going to be. He's certainly solid when he's healthy, but right. I think that's an area. I think, obviously, you'd mention edge rusher, defensive lineman, but you always need an experienced safety. You have to have a guy back there that's been there, done that. I mean, that would probably be my other go-to for some of the areas I'm going to spend money. Paul, always good, buddy. We'll talk again later in the week, okay?
Yeah, sounds like we're on the same page with that, Bill. All right, cool, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. See you. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they're going to get done. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.